Welcome back to Neuroconversant Leadership, where we talk about effective communication in the STEM workplace. I'm Jeremy Doran, and I work with great engineers, scientists, and doctors on their journey to becoming great leaders. Have you ever felt all alone in the world? I mean, we're all unique, so I get that, but does that have to make us feel like we're outsiders? Wouldn't it be great if we could be proud of our uniqueness while also feeling part of the team and included? That's what we're going to talk about today, so get ready. I was flipping through channels on the television the other day, and every time I do that, I see reruns for The Big Bang Theory. Have you ever watched that? I'm guessing probably yes, because they had 18 to 20 million viewers every season. And it was popular enough that now they keep showing the reruns. And I think about it, and I think about the initial pitch to the television producers. Hey, let's dive into the world of physicists at Caltech and explore how they interact with each other. How do you think anyone responded to that? I'm guessing crickets. But let's look at some brilliant but socially awkward physicists as they try to navigate interpersonal connections and dating in the wider world outside of Caltech. Better, right? How about let's imbue each one of them with completely different characteristics which make it harder for them to make those connections, but that almost everyone can identify with. That's a winner. And that's what they did. Clearly, they hit on something. And I think the reason is because they are all very unique, and you know what? We all are. We all know what it feels like to be unique, and they did a great job of making them be really quirky, but again, each of them in different ways so that each of us can probably relate with at least one, maybe two of the characters. For me, I most relate to Leonard. He sort of straddles both worlds. He is clearly a socially awkward physicist, but he also does a better job than most of assimilating into the world of kind of everyone else, like Penny and other characters, but he's not quite comfortable in either one. The second one that I identify with is Sheldon. Not all the way, but I did a search of the characters online of what are their Myers-Briggs MBTI types. And while there's some disagreement, a lot of people think that he is an INTP, and that's what I am. So even though I don't think I'm quite like Sheldon, I can identify with some of his characteristics. And to some degree, it's a relief for all of us knowing that we're not alone in our quirkiness. It's so popular because we all have these quirks, and we love seeing characters that have the same ones that we have. But in real life, we all have those quirks too. We're all very unique, and at times, it can definitely be challenging. And if you don't want to think of them as quirks, just think unique. Everyone's like a snowflake. Every single human on the planet is different. I happen to live in a house with identical twin boys. Their DNA is almost completely identical. They grew up in the same environment, same parents, access to the same food, same medicine. And I can tell you definitively, they are very different. If they're different, why is it so hard for us to remember just how different everyone else is from each other and from you? It is guaranteed that whoever you're talking to will have a difference in the way they see the world, the way they communicate. And so what can we do? I propose two courses of action. Totally opposite, but both of them are going to help. First, embrace the differences. I recommend finding out what the other person is passionate about, and then, more importantly, strive to understand why. Birdwatching, stamp collecting, to me, these seem horribly boring. But I like doing puzzles. And I can see why people think it's silly. A friend of mine, he does not like puzzles, said you spend hours hunched over a table, you put something together, and then once it's complete, you just break it down and put it back in the box. Why is that fun? And so I told him, there are actually two things that I really like about it. A, it keeps me just the right amount of occupied. The back of my brain is free to roam, while the front of my brain is engaged enough that I don't get distracted. So I'm engaged enough where I have to be looking for pieces and putting them together, but it frees up the back of my mind to work on whatever problem I'm working on at work or in my interpersonal relationship. But it engages me enough that it frees me. If I had to engage more, like if I'm reading a book, my brain doesn't have that kind of freedom. So it does just the right of engagement to let my brain kind of roam. And when my brain gets a chance to roam, it solves a lot of problems for me. So I love that, but it's also a great way to spend time with people. Again, because it uses just the right amount of my attention. I can sit there for hours and there's no pressure to talk because you're doing something, but you're generally sitting side by side or at the same table. You're not so engaged that it hinders conversation. So you can have great conversations, but you don't have to. There's no pressure to have the conversation. It's just an opportunity to do so. So again, for both of those reasons, for me, puzzles use just the right amount of my brain and give me enough time where I can do important things with the other part, either thinking through problems or communicating with someone who's important to me. And he heard that and he said, huh, you know what? Maybe I'll give a puzzle a try. And so once you learn what someone's passionate about, A, you can learn a lot more about them. You can find out why it's exciting, and you may find that there's more overlap than you actually thought there was. The next thing that you can do, this is still part of the first one, is once you find out what they're passionate about, ask what really frustrates them. And again, dig into the why. The why is what normally makes it both interesting and where you can figure out where the intersections are in the way you think and communicate in the way they do. So embrace those differences. Learn what's behind the passions. Learn what's behind the frustration. And there might be more overlap than you thought. The second and totally opposite tact is to find your people. When I was growing up in high school, I never really found my people. I felt like an outsider. Once I got to college, I went to UMass Amherst. There's so much more diversity to be had. You can find people who are into anything. There's, I think, 35,000 people at UMass, so there's much more opportunity to find someone who felt like my people, and I did, and it was wonderful. Once you're in the workplace, you're not quite getting the same diversity of people, at least most of us aren't. So I recommend joining a club. Find the most specific and the most interesting club you can find. And these days, you can find a club for anything. I just did a quick search on Meetup, and I found if you're a fan of Ayn Rand, which I personally am, there's a group for that. Do you like scrapbooking, knitting, board games, drum circles, tango, day trading, artificial intelligence, catwalking? Whatever it is, if you are interested in something that's that specific and you find other people who are as well, it's not guaranteed that they're your people and that you'll all get along, but the odds certainly go up. So I recommend A, working with the people you have. Find out what they're passionate about, what frustrates them, and find out where the hidden overlaps are. But also go out and find your own people. Find really specific groups that are doing unusual and interesting things that really speak to you. That's how you're going to find your people. That's it for this week. Go find your people and go find the people who don't seem like your people and see where the overlaps are. Have a great week. Thank you so much for listening to Neuroconversant Leadership. I'm glad you made it this far. If you found this beneficial, can you do me one small favor? Can you give me a review, whether it's on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen? If you can go and give me a review that you can honestly give, hopefully 5 stars, but if not, I'd rather you be honest. If you can do that for me, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much and have a great day.